Hey everybody, this is Diane.
And hey, this is Todd in Los Angeles.
Welcome to another episode of This Conversation Rocks.
This week brought to you by Maker's Mark.
And some cheap ass coffee in recyclable pods. So what'd you call it? Yeah. Before we start, I just want to say I'm stealing a little bit from our Preacher podcast here, but I'm pretty convinced everyone on the planet is doing a Cassidy.
Okay.
I was going to say, you're supposed to give me some kind of feed-in. So I'm pretty sure everybody is smoking attic insulation and drinking a wee bit of the shite coming out of the back of the AC.
Oh, okay.
Because this planet has gone nuts. Everybody's crazy.
Is that what he was saying?
Yes, that's what he was saying. The attic insulation came later, but yeah.
Yeah, sorry, the joke's lost if you can't understand what the guy's saying. Which, hey, is a really good lead-in to Trump.
Right, well, that's my point. Swear to God, everybody on this planet is smoking a wee bit of the shite coming out of the AC. Because, I mean, I was just telling Todd that as we are going to air tonight, MSNBC has decided to scrap all of the reruns of their evening shows and just stay on live because Trump is still imploding on television.
Oh, how is he even on television? I mean, it's like midnight someplace.
He was doing some kind of rally somewhere, and in this latest rally, the latest outrageous thing he said was that Barack Obama is the founder of ISIS and Hillary Clinton is the co-founder.
No,
I am not kidding you. I could not make this shit up.
No.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Do we think we should try to parse that into something that he might have been trying to say, or are we just gonna let this go with that?
Do you think it was just a bad joke, or do you think he was trying to get a particular voting bloc to get out and vote? Or
no, I was referring
to all the spin on the Second Amendment crap.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. That was last night's news.
Right.
Now we're off to a totally different set of news. This is the problem with Trump, is that anything he says will be trumped shortly.
Which, you know, I feel like it's a Stephen Colbert word now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just to give you an example, okay? I went through my news feed on Huffington Post earlier today, just to kind of get a sense of what we might talk about tonight. And this is what was in today's headlines. So they called Paul Ryan a national disgrace because he is still not disavowing Trump. There was an article about RNC staffers basically bailing on the Republican National Committee because Trump is a deal breaker. There was a thing about Trump doubling down on his Second Amendment comments. There was a really good article about how jokes about shooting women are anything but jokes. Another GOP person endorses Clinton. This is Rep. Chris Shays from Connecticut.
Yeah.
One in five Republicans want Trump to drop out, and Trump's newest advisor compared Syrian refugees to rattlesnakes. And this is a guy who is currently the Texas Ag Commissioner named Sid Miller. Already knocked out of the news cycle by the time I had looked, well before tonight, Susan Collins endorsing Trump, or disendorsing Trump, or disavowing Trump. The 50 Republicans who said that Trump will be really dangerous, we shouldn't vote for him. The whole thing with the Khan family. I mean, just That was several hours ago, and I'm sure that if I opened Huffington Post back up, it would all be changed again.
And as of 6 hours ago, 538 has Hillary Clinton with an 85.2% chance of winning this thing. And she is edging ever closer to actually getting the entire getting the popular vote. And in this one, we have Georgia now 52.5% likely to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Now, how long has it been since Georgia has gone blue?
16 years. Bill Clinton was probably the last one.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because they probably pretty much ran the South when Bill was elected.
Right. And Arizona is right at the tipping point of 49.6% chance that Clinton will win and a 50.4% chance that Trump will win.
Well, your mom is going to be that nail in the coffin.
Yeah, fuck her. You know, Mom, I love you, but you're just dead wrong here. Sorry.
So
interestingly enough, right, when you look at the voting map on 538, right, there's an awful lot of blue.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of red that ain't all that red.
But I think we need to remember, and I know we're going to talk about this tonight, we need to remember to talk about not being complacent. Because we can totally say, yeah, Donald Trump is completely crazy, and the fact that we are opening this recording with him on television talking about Barack Obama being the founder of ISIS, there's people who buy that shit.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, of course, is it's a standard Republican. It's interesting because it is a misrepresentation of the standard Republican misrepresentation, right? That the Obama administration and therefore Clinton would be part of this, you know, or somehow responsible for the rise of ISIS.
Correct.
Right. Versus, I don't know, say the Bush administration that got us into the middle of a fucking ground war over in the Middle East that's never ended and caused there to be a vacuum for ISIS to come in the first place. I mean, you know, or, you know, maybe ISIS should be blamed on...
Oh, I don't know. How about the Bush-Reagan administration and the close relationships with Saudi Arabia? I'm still stuck there.
sure. Or, you know, maybe, you know, seriously, right?
I'm sure it's even before that. I mean, I'm sure that the roots go so deep that you and I have no idea. Well, you probably have a better idea than I do.
Right. You know, I just, you know, it's ludicrous. You know, are we responsible for a lot of the crap that happens in the Middle East? Yes. Is Barack Obama a founding member? No.
Apparently he is.
Let's just clarify that.
Before we
by the way, Alaska has now moved to nearly a 25% chance for Clinton.
You guys were
like 3% a couple weeks ago.
Wow. It'll never happen, but that's pretty amazing. I predict
Gary, they don't show it, but I bet Gary Johnson has a good chance of carrying Alaska.
I predict that we will have either just this complete cluster of write-ins that they can't even count, or Gary Johnson. I think you're right.
And, you know, and I hope Gary can win something, you know?
You
especially
know?
Something red that, you know, isn't going to hurt us anyway.
Right, there you go, with three electoral votes. So before we get too far down rabbit holes and lost on dog whistles, I have to comment on something that's kind of unrelated that just cracked me up tonight. So
okay.
I got on Facebook and I was like, it's called irony, people. It's called fucking irony. So one of my not-so-liberal friends reposted a rant written by someone who called themselves a liberal... anti-gun person or something. They had some kind of crazy label on their Facebook thing, and it was like, I can hardly wait until Barack Obama finally does his crazy plan and allows me to break down your door and take all of your guns. And this person's response was literally, bring it, motherfucker. I pry it from my cold, dead hands. And I'm like, okay, babe, it's called irony. Irony. I didn't say it because I knew it would turn into an ugly fight, but I was like, this is what's wrong with
America.
Oh, good
for you. I'm so proud of you. See, you are getting better.
I'm growing up, kind of.
life is too short to get involved in freaking Facebook fights. Let's be honest.
I hear you, man. But, oh, God, you know, it's like, come on. Can you not read the ironic tone of that post? Do you not know that there are those of us out there who actually still have a sense of humor? Come on. Well,
nobody knows that, right?
Right. So I just had to comment on that. But really, back to Donald.
Well, so in the last 24 hours, I guess, Clinton campaign boasted Wednesday of nearly 50 endorsements from independents and Republicans. Probably 56 by now. Six former ambassadors, five military leaders. You know, and I gotta say, you know, some of these guys that are coming out against Trump are the neocons that were responsible for the Bush administration and all that crap.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking
they don't even like you.
Right. And you know, it's not a particularly good move for the Clinton camp to be boasting that they have John Negroponte. I don't know if I got his first name right, but that they have Negroponte's endorsement. It's not particularly a good thing for the Clinton camp to be boasting that to the progressives that they're trying to catch. But let's be honest, they're much more interested in pandering to all of the neocons that Trump is alienating.
Well, they're trying to run the table now.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the people who are fleeing the train wreck that is the Republican Party right now, and I'm like, this is why I feel like voting for Hillary Clinton is a vote for a Republican, because I'm looking at all the people who are flooding her ship suddenly, and it is an awful lot of people who are from the Reagan Bush years. I mean, really? at this point, there was I forget who was talking. I think it was Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. They were actually saying, well, you know, I guess Rumsfeld and Cheney aren't backing her.
Yet.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, not that Cheney would, but Rumsfeld? Yeah, maybe.
What do you think is going to happen first? Do you think Cheney's heart's going to give out first? Or do you think he's going to endorse Hillary?
Cheney's heart will never give out because
he can just buy another heart.
Well, the man is heartless.
Well, no, but he actually bought a heart. He's got somebody else's heart beating in his chest.
Yeah, that's the story. That's the story that they told everybody so that we wouldn't figure out the fact that he is really a fucking vampire.
Well, he's not a
glittery, sexy vampire by any stretch.
And not a 119-year-old Irish vampire who's smoking attic insulation.
Exactly, right?
Yes, for those of you who don't watch Preacher, we are talking about Preacher. So, yeah, I mean, in the last 24 hours, okay, so Clinton's had this flood of people endorse her, or at least say, we're not voting for Trump, we're not sure if we're supporting Clinton, we may be sitting this out. I mean, yesterday the big news was Susan Collins was endorsing, or not endorsing, was not endorsing Trump and would not say whether or not she was endorsing Hillary Clinton. That was the big news yesterday.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Trump pulls his Second Amendment bullshit and it just falls apart from there again.
And, you know, again, I'm not saying that he was saying that, you know, people should go out and cause violence to Hillary Clinton. However, a couple of former Secret Service agents certainly said that today.
Well, so here's
you know, listen to me about it. Listen to them.
And here's the thing, you know, I mean, I actually never thought I would say that I think Paul Ryan's right. I only think he's partially right in this circumstance. I do think it was a bad joke. I do think that he was not actively trying to incite violence against Hillary Clinton. But I think the other thing is this. When you have a bunch of wingnuts following your campaign, when you have people who are willing to sucker punch other people at your campaign rallies, and you say shit like that, sure as hell somebody is going to pick up an AR-15 and try to kill people.
And the thing is, of course, is that Trump doesn't understand, though, that what he has is the wingnuts.
Well,
because he doesn't understand that he is a wingnut.
Yeah.
Actually, he's not even a wingnut. He's just nut.
I don't even know what he's doing at this point. I mean,
he doesn't either. He's, you know, I saw something, you know, somebody said, you know, sounds like a 2-year-old.
Yep, yeah.
It really does. You know?
I mean, after last night, I was like, okay, off the rails. He proved to us that he could not stick to a teleprompter for 24 hours. And then this, as we're coming to record tonight, I just couldn't believe it.
Mm. You know, and so, I mean, the thing is, it's so funny that...
Okay, I would just like to say, all my fucking dogs are barking, and my husband is home. He had one job. One job!
Oh, well.
Anyway, go ahead.
You know, but I mean, this is... So, I mean, the thing is, of course, this is totally trumped what we were going to talk about if we'd gotten on yesterday, which would have been Evan McMullen.
He's still sort of kind of there, maybe. But he has no place in the news cycle whatsoever now.
Right.
You know? Poor dude is just totally flooded out in the news. It's like, Evan who? What?
Yeah, and so for everybody who doesn't know, Evan McMullen is apparently... The alternative for the GOP presidential nominee being put forth by the Republicans who are never Trump, and they're hoping to get him on the ballot in all 50 states, and, you know, to which we say, please,
and he
get him on the ballot.
Like yesterday, right?
Right. Yeah, he's a one-time chief policy director for the House Republicans and a former CIA officer.
And, I mean, he's very conservative. He lost me at his take on Roe versus Wade, and I forget what... Oh, he lost me at his take on the Republican platform, which he says is one of the strongest platforms that they've put forth in years. Hater.
Right.
But, you know, at least he can stick to a teleprompter.
Sure, right. No, but the best part is that the Republicans... behind this, and even Mr. McMullen, are not saying that they think that they're going to win. They're saying that they're just going to ensure that Trump loses.
Right.
That's how much the Republicans hate Trump, is that they're going to torpedo their own guy now.
Well...
And
more power to him. And I was... looking at, I can't even call it the news anymore. I don't even know what to call it, but I was looking at the news today. And so Trump is like coming in last in the polls that look at the African-American vote. Go figure, right? But he's also losing the millennials. I mean, well, Hillary Clinton has more millennials, and Jill Stein and Gary Johnson have more millennials than he does.
Yeah, I would totally expect that though.
But I mean, dude, the wheels have fallen off of the clown car.
Yes.
I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore.
No, I mean, this is the thing, is that, you know, give us 5 minutes and we'll have a whole new round of Trump. Of what the Trump was that?
Right.
You know, I mean, he's courting coal company. This is earlier today. Trump is vowing to put miners back to work. You know. You know, because, I don't know, coal is the energy of the future. It's the new solar. Yeah, it's the new nuclear.
Oh, and that should be in the news cycle still, too. I mean, really? He asked people in a national security briefing, why can't we use nuclear weapons? That should still be in the news cycle.
Yeah, no, and it should be, but again, there's only so much craziness you can cover at any one time. You know, and it's, Bob was talking to me about this yesterday, and his theory was, it's like a Zerg attack. It's like, you know, just overwhelm. Right? Nobody can pin him down on any one particular thing because there's so much shit coming out at you from him. Right? And by the time you go, wait a second, what? Did he just threaten the candidate? And but you can't even talk about that because
you're on to the next crazy ass thing.
Right.
So I get two things more about that. I mean, I probably got way more about that. But okay, first of all, and I said this to you yesterday, or I texted it to you yesterday. If it were you or me, we would still be in some little hole of a jail somewhere getting drilled by the Secret Service. Come on. And the other thing is I don't know if you saw they played it again and again and again. The guy that was right behind Trump when he said this, his jaw just kind of dropped and he turned to the woman he was with and said, whoa. I mean, you could totally see him mouthing that. Well, they found him and interviewed him today. And at the end of the interview, he's like, But I'm still going to vote for him.
Yeah.
I was like,
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, right? I mean, you know, when I was talking about 538 and the percentage out of the outcome, right? The percentage chance of a given outcome.
Right.
Which, you know, is important to understand, but it's also important to understand, as I pull this back up, what the popular vote looks like right at the moment, and it's really not nearly as bad as it should be.
Like, it's pretty close, I would imagine.
Anyway, the popular vote right now has Clinton with 48.9. Like I said, she is actually closing in on that 50% majority, which would be nice.
What does Trump have?
But Trump currently has, you know, predicted outcome of 41.7% of the popular vote.
God.
And that's not nothing.
No, that's a bunch of crazy people. Well, yeah. And people who are, and here's the thing that I think that the Dems are still missing. People who are pissed off, people who don't feel like they're being served by the status quo, and people who feel like at least they're voting for something that's change. I don't agree with them.
Right.
I've got to tell you, one of the nurses I work with, this just kills me. So first of all, I found out I was totally in the minority. Probably 3/4 of the nurses that I work with are voting for Donald Trump.
It's of course, but that's because you live in Alaska.
Well, yeah, and because they're nurses, and nurses never fail to shock me with how conservative they actually are. But one of them actually said to me, the day he declared, I stopped watching the news because I knew that if I voted for him, I was voting for someone who was not a politician. So this dude hasn't watched the news in over a year. Like, he didn't know any of the things that I was referring to when I called Trump a misogynist and a racist and a bigot. And one of the really lovely black gentlemen that we work with happened to be walking by as we were having this conversation. And I said to that person, hey, if I called Trump a bigot, would you understand what I meant? And he was like, well, if I was Trump's friend, I probably wouldn't say that. But yeah, he's a bigot. Like, there you go. Maybe you need to watch the news.
Well, you know, I mean, my mom's going to vote for this guy no matter what.
Well, and so, you know, I think the popular vote reflects people like that. Not everyone is a knuckle-dragging neo-Nazi who's ready to pick up an AR-15 and do in the other candidate.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the thing that we need to think about. And that's the don't get complacent part of things that we need to really think about.
Right, and I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We got to turn out, we got to vote, we got to vote in big numbers. Why? Because we got to win. We got to win everywhere. And we need to get some Senate seats back.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, here's the other thing, right? So last 24 hours, Hillary Clinton should be totally owning this news cycle. I mean, Trump is so off the rails, she should be completely owning it. But, oh, by the way, she's got this small email problem again.
Oh, she's got a bigger problem than that. She's short-circuited.
Right. Well, I short-circuit from time to time, so I can't hold that against her.
Yes, but do you come out and say that while you're running for president, and thus reinforcing the fact that there is no way that a big percentage of the American population is going to vote for a woman because 4 days of the month, she's going to be fucking crazy.
Well, this woman is completely menopausal, so you can't even say that.
it doesn't matter, right? I mean, just basically, I mean, once again, she proved to everybody who wants that to be proof that she is in no way qualified to be president.
She's not Megyn Kelly. She no longer has blood coming out of her whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm trying to joke. Right, which, you know, and I get it, but I'm so fucking pissed when they do this stuff. It's like, you truly have one job. Yeah. Keep your mouth fucking shut and just wait for him to say something and then get him.
Yeah.
It's all you gotta do, because if you open your goddamn mouth, all you do is shoot yourself in the foot. Because, I hate to say it, right, but take a page from, you know, somebody like Michael Jordan. Or any other sports star who's made millions and millions in endorsements, right? who has said nothing more their entire career than, I'm really happy to be able to contribute, you know?
I really like Nike shoes. They make me play better basketball.
That's the whole Bull Durham thing, right? Cliches. Yeah, can't win them all. Just proud to be part of the team, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because she brought up the email thing in that press conference. That was the point she had it.
I know.
It's I like, know. Why and do she... you want to talk about something that can only hurt you?
Right.
And then you completely misrepresented what the FBI and the Justice Department said, right? You completely misrepresented that. Oh, they said I was honest. No, they made no statements about your integrity or your honesty.
No, they actually said you were utterly irresponsible.
Right.
Was that the word? Irresponsible? Maybe that wasn't quite it.
Careless.
Yeah.
Sloppy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. Words that describe your action. Your action was this, and it wasn't good. But to say, you know, they didn't say that you weren't honest, and they didn't say that you were honest. But to say that, you know, the FBI said I was completely honest is bullshit. Everybody knew it was bullshit, and you knew it when you said it. And then when you got called on it, you're like, oh, I short-circuited. Fucking stupid. Oh, I'm almost angry at her, apparently, for that.
Well, you know, and this comes down once again to, this is a horrible election. Horrible election. You know, we have unlikable and... the nuclear option, you know?
Right. Yeah. And that's the whole problem. That is the whole problem. My wife was asking me what we were going to talk about, and I was telling her it was going to be about Donald Trump.
And she's like, what else are you going to talk about? That's all you've talked about for months.
She said, well, are you going to talk about Hillary Clinton? I said, yeah, I'm definitely going to bring up this thing. I said, but, you know, you got to understand who is absolutely winning this new cycle. I think that's the thing with Trump, right? Is he thinks that, you know, this is good, right? Because he is controlling the news.
But here's the other thing that came out about the emails, and I want to make sure we talk about this too. So today, apparently more emails got released that show that there were some pretty blurry lines between the Clinton State Department and the Clinton Foundation. And that there were people who were actively looking for contacts and work within the Clinton Foundation and using State Department contacts to get there. That's not good.
But I gotta be honest. And?
Right, I mean...
So?
And in a normal
How is
year,
that any different? You know, I mean, right? It's worth condemning the entire system over, I agree.
Because it's not any different than anything anyone else would have done. I agree. But with everything else, it looks so bad. And with these, you know, 30,000 emails that are missing, it looks so bad when something like this comes out. Because then the question surfaces again. What is she hiding? You know, I mean, I have a Bernie can't be bought by billionaires sticker on my computer. And I'm like, I guess I need to take that off. You know, I mean, I just... Ugh. The whole thing is nauseating. So, you know, and I know, I understand that everyone peddles that kind of influence. I totally get it. But for that to come out again, and, you know, she fucking hires Debbie Wasserman Schultz the minute Debbie Wasserman Schultz steps down from the DNC.
Right.
I mean, she just does the stupidest shit. And you're right. She needs to take a page from the book of, I'm just going to smile and wave and nod and wait until Trump shoots himself in the foot, the knee, the thigh.
Right. And then, you know.
And she can't. You
know, no, because she's a politician, which means she's a moron. They're all morons, you know?
And then you got stupid people like the coworker that I have who I actually love. I think he's a great nurse. But you've got people like that saying, I turned off the news 14 months ago because at least I'm not going to be voting for a politician. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see how sweet your dog is. Your dog is nothing like my dogs.
Well, he's very unhappy, though.
Well, he doesn't like Trump either. He just isn't quite so loud about it.
No, Mom's not home. Mom is in the Bay Area on business. It's very, very unhappy. But yeah, oh my God, I'm so tired. And, you know, and we still got another 90 days.
I know. And it just kind of makes you wonder what shoe is going to drop next, what crazy-ass thing is going to come out next. I was looking at my Facebook feed before we came on tonight, and Julian Assange is threatening that he has an October surprise about Hillary's emails. And I'm like, okay, get the fuck out of our elections, number one. Yes, I laughed at your gonorrhea or cholera joke. I thought it was funny. But now I'm just getting irritated. You know?
Well, and that just... Yeah, if he's got something, put it out there. Let us see it. Let us determine the validity of it and everything, you know? Don't fuck around. Put it out if you got it. If you don't, then, you know, fuck off.
You know, at this point, and I sound like a complete whore, and I'm saying it anyway, you could tell me that she stripped and pole danced on the desk in the Oval Office while Monica Lewinsky was blowing Bill Clinton, and I would say, so what? At least she's not Donald Trump.
And that, dear friends, is the entire problem with our political system.
Exactly.
Because it's that bad.
It is that bad. And, you know, I hear Jill Stein and I hear Gary Johnson saying, don't vote for the lesser of two evils, vote for one of us. And I'm like, you know, in any other year, maybe that would be an option. But then I think back to all of those other years where it might have been an option, and it always comes down to vote like your life depends on it, because it does.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I am longing for the days of George W. Bush.
Let's not go that far.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, let's not get crazy, though. So, yeah, okay, so this is from yesterday, right? Washington Post editorial from Joe Scarborough.
Yes, no, Joe no. Scarborough, who is not exactly the most liberal guy on the planet.
The GOP must dump Trump.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have never seen anything like this, and, you know, unfortunately, I'm kind of getting old, so I've seen a few of these now. So Joe Scarborough, 4 points. The Secret Service should interview Donald Trump and ask him to explain his threatening comments. Paul Ryan and every Republican leader should denounce in the strongest terms their GOP nominee, suggesting conservatives can find the Supreme Court more favorable to their desires if his political rival was assassinated. Yeah, I agree.
Because really, even jokingly, that's what he was implying. Yes, it was a bad joke, but that's ultimately what some wingnut is going to see it as.
Yep.
Go ahead, sorry.
Ryan and every Republican leader should revoke their endorsement of Trump. You know, and the Republican Party needs to start examining quickly their options for removing the nominee. And I don't disagree with you, Mr. Scarborough, which is kind of an odd statement, but but you guys brought it on yourselves. You guys should own this too, right? You know, the Republican Party, who has been pretending to be stupid for so long to the court that know nothings and racist and everything else. This is the logical conclusion of who you guys have become.
Because the flip side of the editorials that people like Joe Scarborough are writing are people like the leader of the American Nazi Party saying Trump is the best thing to come along in years.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like, oh my God.
And I'm not making that up.
Oh, I know you're not. You know? Some of the most fun, though, has come from watching Pence.
I kind of feel sorry for him, and I never thought I would say that.
No,
but
no,
I mean, he's having to completely dig and dig and dig and defend and deflect. And, you know, all I can say is, motherfucker, I hope you have to pee in a bathroom surrounded by Buck Angel and Janet Mock.
Absolutely. So Mike Pence hints, again, this is, I mean, Trump is trumping everything, right? Because this is from earlier today, but Mike Pence hints at Trump's Muslim ban extending to other religions.
Oh my God, I didn't hear that at all. See, and that's the other scary thing, actually, and this is why we shouldn't be complacent, because you're exactly right, shit like that gets buried.
Yeah.
So yeah, what absolutely. Other religions is he suggesting that it should extend to?
I think what you heard in the convention speech from Donald Trump, what we've talked about out on the stump, is that we would temporarily suspend from countries or territories, if you will, the caliphate of ISIS, obviously, expands beyond one country. But to say that individuals that come from regions or countries that have been compromised by terrorism would, that we would suspend that immigration, I think that's appropriate until we develop a new vetting system.
So he's actually not really saying any particular religion should be included, but basically people from all areas impacted by ISIS, which is nothing new. I mean, they've actually said that off and on for quite a while.
Yeah,
and there are other people who've whistled that dog whistle, you know. Is anything even a dog whistle at this point? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
You've got to be pretty fucking stupid to miss it. You know?
That's what Donald Trump and I are calling for now, is to have temporary suspension of immigration from countries or territories compromised by terrorism. And I believe that's an appropriate action given the horrendous, horrendous violence that we see. Yeah, okay. You know, the problem with this, guys, is that you certainly are conflating that. You're first of all working from a completely false premise, which is all terrorists are Muslims. But
right.
then you're conflating that to all Muslims are terrorists, right? You know, so the logic is completely wrong. And even if people don't want to look at the logic and the lack of logic here, let's just say that we're the goddamn United States. Give us, you're tired, you're hungry, you're poor, you're downtrodden. We are a country built on immigration, and some thought that somehow we're going to stop immigration and that's going to be beneficial to us is just insane.
I think if the French were smart, they would ask for the statue back, because we have fucked it up irrevocably.
That's okay. They're on their way to taking away their own civil rights.
That's right. They're working on electing someone from their national front. So, I don't even know where to go with this. It's just all. The last 24 hours have been insane.
Yeah.
The last 3 weeks have been insane. Every time you think it can't get any less crazy, it gets more crazy. Yeah, the numbers look good at 538, and I hope that Nate is right, but, I mean, I think the really important things are, as we've said, don't get complacent. You can't just say, oh yeah, Trump's a nutbag, and not vote, or not work to have something different happen. And, you know, you gotta think about the down-ballot races, you gotta think about other stuff that's going on, and you have to think about dealing with the really disgusting piece of America that has been uncovered by this campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that that is the thing that goes far beyond whatever happens in this election.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
It's just, it's unbelievable to me. It's completely unbelievable to me.
So.
And so.
No, but the bottom line here always has been my complete inability to forecast is just hilarious, because I never thought Trump could possibly win the nomination.
Well, and I think everybody's really given up on forecasting anything now, because no one could have ever seen this.
It's because we're really bad at forecasting.
It's not just us, man. It's every other person out there, including Nate Silver, who has said, I really couldn't see this coming.
Yep.
So, you know, another thing that I wanted to bring up, and I kind of touched on it, but I was doing some reading today, just some essays about, you know, people urging us not to be complacent, and I've been thinking a lot about where do the progressives go from here? I mean, especially, again, now that the people that we're seeing embrace Hillary Clinton are people like Negroponte and people like Michael Hayden, and, I mean, people who are really conservative, people who are part of the big neocon takeover. I have read things by progressives that say, I now feel like I have nowhere to turn. I now feel like I have nothing to fight for.
But we've never had anything in the Democratic Party, you know, that really looks progressive.
Do you think maybe we all just had false hope because Bernie did so well?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I actually really felt like the tide might turn.
Well, I think if you start looking at downstream elections and you start putting new people into the political system downstream, I think, and you know, if you want to change things, that's where it's got to happen, right? But if we think that the Democratic Party is somehow going to reform itself from the top down just because of Bernie did well for a while, that's just not going to happen. You know, but the thing is that, I mean, when was the last time the party was progressive?
God, I can't even tell you.
Right. I mean, certainly not under Obama. Certainly not under Clinton 1.
I thought Obama was progressive. Isn't that crazy? I was so bought and sold that I really thought Obama was progressive. I still don't think he's the founder of ISIS. but
at the end of the day, President Obama is and always has been slightly left of center technocrat.
I agree.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's we the people, and both sides do it and stuff. I mean, you look at the conservatives and Reagan and stuff, and all of this belief they have in Reagan-esque policies and everything. But a brief survey of people who actually lived through it, or you know, just history in general, will show that you know he didn't enact all that many conservative policies. He compromised with the Democrats all the time in Congress to get what he wanted where he could. You know, so there wasn't a true conservative in the presidency. Certainly wasn't Bush Sr.
Right.
You know, Bush Jr., Cheney.
Right. I mean, you can't even call it. You can't even call it Bush Jr.'s time, really. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I look back and I'm like, I don't think the Kennedys were progressives, you know? I mean, were there ever progressives? Have we ever had a progressive government in the U.S.? I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to have, like, zero faith.
Right, and it depends on how you want to look at progressive. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, certainly during certain administrations, agendas have been progressive, things have happened. You know, Lyndon Johnson, the Voter Rights Act, you know. Nixon, a lot of the things Nixon did are actually should be considered progressive. You know, OSHA and some of the other government regulatory agencies that, you know, he brought into existence, which, you know, the Republicans are trying to get rid of.
Which Gary Johnson would be happy to get rid of.
You know, this is the problem with libertarian philosophy, right?
Exactly.
It's that at the end of the day, libertarians believe in anarchy, but the anarchy they want and I want is not the anarchy we get. The anarchy we get is the Lebanon.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, I do find, while I respect the libertarian belief in small, non-obtrusive government, intrusive and obtrusive, but certainly think that there's a lot of room to shrink government involvement in all of our lives and everything, but the libertarian belief would take you to the point of no government, right?
Right.
You know, and well, I'd love to believe that we could do that. I'm pretty sure I'd be wrong.
I'm pretty sure you would be too.
Ethiopia, anyone?
Yeah.
But yeah, has there ever been progressive? No, I mean, I think the truth of the matter is that to a great degree, the progressives remember a past that didn't happen either. right? You know, everybody talks about how things used to be better, different, whatever. The truth of the matter is, they probably weren't better. They probably weren't different. You know?
I think all you have to do is talk to a woman or a person of color. I mean, no offense. You're my favorite white guy.
No, I mean, I get it. I get it, right? But what I'm saying is that progressive things generally happen in spite of the government, not because of the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we look back and we say, oh, you know, Lyndon Johnson did all these things. And even I was just saying that a few minutes ago. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is it was something that's time had come, and there was political advantage to Johnson doing that. And so he did.
Well, it's just like all of our current politicians, quote, evolving on gay marriage, gay rights, trans rights.
Or going back, Woodrow Wilson and his evolution to giving women the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was certainly no fucking progressive, even though that's a progressive act. How do you know if a politician's lying?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, fuck these guys.
So, I have a Hall of Honorable mention, and it's related to Trump, and it's related to all of the craziness, but I just had to give a shout-out to Dan Rather.
What?
I know. Did you read it?
No, I didn't.
So,
I'm totally not knowing what you're about to say.
This is Dan Rather's response to Donald Trump's calling for, even jokingly, calling for the assassination of the other candidate. No trying to be objective and fair journalist. No citizen who cares about the country and its future can ignore what Donald Trump said today. When he suggested that the Second Amendment people can stop Hillary Clinton, he crossed a line with dangerous potential. By any objective analysis, this is a new low and unprecedented in American presidential politics. This is no longer about policy, civility, decency, or even temperament. This is a direct threat of violence against a political rival. It is not just against the norms of American politics, it raises a serious question as to whether it is against the law. If any other citizen had said this about a presidential candidate, would the Secret Service be investigating? Candidate Trump will undoubtedly issue an explanation. Some of his surrogates are already engaged in trying to gloss it over, but once words are out, they cannot be taken back. That's what inciting violence means. To anyone who still pretends that this is a normal election of Republican against Democrat, history is watching, and I suspect its verdict will be harsh. Many have tried to do a side shuffle and issue statements saying that they strongly disagree with his rhetoric, but still support the candidate. That is becoming woefully insufficient. The rhetoric is the candidate. This cannot be treated just as another outrageous moment in the campaign. We will see whether major newscasts explain how grave and unprecedented this is, and whether or not the headlines in tomorrow's newspapers will do it justice. We will soon know whether anyone who has publicly supported Trump explains how they can continue to do. We are a democratic republic governed by the rule of law. We are an honest, fair, and decent people. In trying to come to terms with today's discouraging development, the best I can do is to summon our greatest political poet, Abraham Lincoln, for perspective. We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic cords of memory, stretching every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and headstone all over this broad land, will yet swell the chorus of the Union, when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature. Lincoln used these stirring words to end his first inaugural address. It was the eve of the Civil War, and sadly his call for sanity, cohesion, and peace was met with horrific violence that almost left our precious Union asunder. We cannot let that happen again.
That is an awesome quote.
Dan Rather, in response to Donald Trump's call for the Second Amendment people to take care of Hillary Clinton yesterday.
All right, well.
So, in happier news, I have to give a shout out to my friend Kristen. I found out tonight that Kristen actually listens to us when she runs, so that was kind of cool. She and I don't always agree politically, so it was nice to know that she's a faithful listener. It made me smile.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we continue to grow bit by bit in our listenership, and I'm super, super happy about that.
Yep.
And I just want to say also that we were quite prescient with our Zika episode, which I will get to you tonight so you can put it up.
That would be awesome.
I actually plan to get this episode and the Zika episode to you tonight because I think they should both come out together. I don't think we can... I think posting a twofer would be fine. Yes, we're letting people peek behind the curtain.
You got time to edit two of them tonight?
I do, man.
That must be nice.
So, I don't know if you want to say anything else. This is... I just don't know what to say.
Nah.
I'm going to take it... Oh, go ahead.
Actually, I think we ought to let... I think we ought to end it... With the Lincoln quote.
I'm going to end it with Neil Gaiman like we always do. But this is apropos.
Okay.
So, this is from The Ocean at the End of the Lane. Grown-ups don't look like grown-ups on the inside either. Outside, they're big and thoughtless, and they always know what they're doing. Inside, they look just like they look, just like they always have, like they did when they were your age. Truth is, there aren't any grown-ups, not one, in the whole wide world.
Amen.
I thought that was really apropos.
Yeah.
So
that is really good.
I'm going to go pretend to be a grown-up briefly. And
that sounds horrible.
I did say pretend, and I did say briefly. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, oh, and yeah, totally forgot to add this piece in. That's right. The Portland fundraiser guy who was like, yeah, no, I'm actually not raising funds for Trump. It was something I posted on the website a week ago getting ready for this, but it was way trumped by
It was way trumped by Trump.
All right, my friend.
All right. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night.
Struck me, I just might die with a smile on my face.